Hello friends, Professor Iyer again, and here I'm discussing Manpower Planning Chapter 3. Okay, as the name indicates, this process is a very important and a vital process in planning how many people to be taken, in what period of time, for which functions, for which divisions, etc. So it's a bit of a complex thing. It appears very simple, it's not that simple, and manpower planning is a very, very tricky and a very challenging process, especially in companies where the manpower requirements are very large, like in the IT companies, and where you find that the attrition rates are very high. Okay, so manpower planning has to be understood from a very holistic point of view. It's not just about numbers. So I'll explain that to you as we proceed, right? So here we are. The objectives of this particular chapter is, after studying this chapter, you should be able to understand what is manpower planning, various factors affecting manpower planning, the process of manpower planning in an organization, importance of manpower planning, the various barriers faced by organization while planning the manpower. Some points not given in the slide I'll be explaining based on experiences and what we observe in industry as a trainer. The structure of the flow, it's divided into 5 parts. First is manpower planning. Next comes process of manpower planning. Third is importance of manpower planning. Fourth, barriers. And finally, we end up with a summary. So here is manpower planning. It's manpower planning or human resource planning is a process of forecasting future demand for and supply of the right type of people for the right number. I'll repeat. Manpower planning or human resource planning is a process of forecasting the future demand for and the supply of the right type of people in the right number. Let's take one by one. Keywords. Forecasting. What am I doing in a forecasting? I am predicting. I am projecting that in the future, this is the month of December. So in January, in February, in the year 2023, I would like to have this. So a forecasting. Forecasting means I am entering into the future. Entering into the future has got its own complexities. Nobody can predict the future. We have learned forecasting as a subject, as a topic in principles of management, right? So in a forecasting cannot be done away with. There's a section of people who say, don't do forecasting because we do not know what's going to happen in the future. But there's an equal number of people who say that forecasting is essential, even though forecasting may not always come out to be correct. Like the weather forecast. If the weather forecast is given, even if the weather forecast doesn't come out to be true, but people are at least informed about something that might happen, a possibility. So you're in a certain direction, if not in the dark or completely in the woods. So forecasting is an essential activity which acts as a support. Forecasting may not give you entirely accurate results because too many unknowns keep cropping up as the days progress from today, tomorrow, day after, etc. So what are we doing? We are trying to predict, or we are trying to work out what will be the future demand. How many people will I need in my company next month and the next month, the next quarter and the next year, and so on and so forth. The demand and also supply. How many people I'll be able to get during that period of time. In the first chapter, I spoke about job market. And in the job market, it is completely controlled by the demand supply of manpower, our entire manpower requirements. So in the job market, there'll be a demand and there'll also be a supply. Sometimes the demand is more and the supply is less, and vice versa. So manpower planning is factoring future demand for and the supply of the right type of people for the right number. The right type of people for the right number. In the earlier chapter number 2, where we are covering job analysis, there's a mention about how we come at what job should be done by whom, at what level, with what functions. So when we say right type of people, when we say right type of people, it means I must get the right person for the right job. So if I'm going for a marketing job, which is involving a lot of traveling, then I must get the right type of person who knows to travel, who has traveled, and who knows how to make things happen effectively. Right number means how many number of people I need to take, maybe in one department, across a department, in so many places. It's quite possible. Now, second bullet point on the screen is HR activities like recruitment and selection, training and development, compensation, appraisal, and labor relations are derived from manpower planning. Manpower planning becomes a support. It becomes a frame of reference for all these activities and many more which are not listed here, right? So let's take the first one, manpower planning. There are some points given here. It leads to optimum utilization of resources, human resources. Optimum means the best possible under the circumstances. Let me tell you that manpower planning is an art. It's a science, but art is more. It requires tremendous amount of business, intuition, judgment, because it involves too many complexities. So I have to, suppose, let us say the manpower requirement, I feel, as per my calculation, I need 100 people. Now, it won't be 100. I may have to work out something based on experience, based on past trends, and it may go to 90 or it may go to 110, 120, etc., which can't be justified by scientific numbers. So it's an art. And this is ideally done, in my experience, with people who have got experience of business cycles. See, manpower planning can be understood very well by anybody, but to implement it in action and to produce results, it's a big challenge, and only people with good amount of experience and business intuition, understanding the company cycles, business cycles, the need and the requirement of, you know, manpower at different points of time, only they'll be in a position to more or less arrive at the real figures. Okay, that's the truth. Second point is it reduces excessive labor turnover and high absenteeism. When I do a manpower planning, I am knowing more or less how much of people to take, the quality of people I should take, and hence, and the people with the proper attitude and the proper disposition towards my company culture, which means not just for the sake of skills, I don't take anybody, which is what is happening in many companies. I take people who are fitting into the company. This is called as a fitment. As a result of which, labor turnover or attrition, as we call it, is reduced. It also involves reduction of absenteeism. Absenteeism is a type of a thing that happens to people wherein they get disengaged with the jobs. Disengagement. They don't feel like coming to the job. They don't feel like coming to work. So they take an excuse and they remain absent. Once, again, a few days they'll work, again they'll be absent. It's a pattern. It's a behavioral pattern of absenteeism. Being absent one day or 2 days random is not absenteeism. Absenteeism is a pattern. Now this pattern, why does it come? It comes because the person is not liking the job. Maybe he's a wrong recruit. So in a manpower planning, we'll ensure that this sort of a wrong recruit part of it is taken care of by having the proper job specification sheet and planning it accordingly. That's how the connection comes of this point number two. Point three is it improves productivity. How does it improve productivity? When I am carefully planning who's to be working, who's to be taken in, where they should work, etc. I have everything scientifically done. It improves the productivity. It starts, it enhances the productivity, and it brings down idle time and also bad recruits. It overall, the company engages majority of the people as the productive lot. Now, if I take 100 people, all the 100 may not be productive, but I can reduce the non-productive numbers to the minimum possible extent. Fourth point is it helps in achieving the objectives of the organization. Obviously, the organization got an objective of going in a particular direction. They want to do it for this purpose and to achieve this goal. And it helps in doing that because it has got a very well-defined system of science and art put together, right? For the employee, it is important because it helps him to improve his skills, utilize his capabilities and potential to the highest. If I know that I've been recruited for the right job, I get employee engaged. And when I'm engaged into my job, obviously, I start taking interest, I improve my skills. And I'm always raring to go up, and then I can go to the higher and higher levels of working. It's a motivation for me. As far as the organization is concerned, how does it help you? Manpower planning. It's important because it improves its efficiency and productivity. In the absence of manpower planning, we'll be going haywire. We'll be taking what are called as knee-jerk reactions. Knee-jerk reactions. As and when there is a requirement, we'll try to take people, and the whole damn thing will become very difficult to handle. Remember one thing, manpower planning is very, very important to be put on a timeline. If I want a person in the month of, say, June of a particular year, then manpower planning should factor that well in advance. And there are other processes that follow that, training and development, induction, orientation, etc. So manpower planning has to be very, very carefully brought out on a timeline. That is where when you bring it properly, the efficiency and productivity will increase. We have a number of cases of companies where senior managers have quit the company and they haven't got replacement properly for 1 year, 2 years and all. That vacancy is lying idle. Nobody's there. Now, apparently the manpower planning was not properly done, or apparently their recruitment policy is not proper, or whatever reasons. So one should know the cycle time for recruiting, for recruiting and selecting and inducting a person in a company. That cycle, when it is known, manpower planning becomes easier to map on a timeline. Okay? Manpower planning is influenced by the following factors: the type and strategy of an organization. What sort of a company is it? Is it a manufacturing unit? Is it a service sector? Is it an NGO? What's the strategy? What is the long-term vision of the company? What do they actually want to do? Second, growth cycle. Are they growing gradually, or are they going in spurts and jerks, or are they a very flat company? Environmental uncertainties. What is happening outside? Are there uncertainties which are not handled? So those are also impact the manpower planning. Fourth is the labor market, right? What's happening in the market in terms of demand supply of manpower, of skilled people. Now we come to this particular chart, which is a process of the manpower planning. On the top, we've got organization objectives. And this is two different parts are there. One is HR demand forecast, and the other side is HR supply forecast, right? And then the common thing that is coming is the demand equal to supply. Rarely, very, very rarely, demand and supply are equal. Very rare. In fact, I would say practically nil. Either the demand is high, supply is less, or the supply is high and the demand is less. Like I told you in the first chapter slide, you know, this is always an imbalance between the demand and supply of manpower when it comes to the job market. Right? So now, if the demand supply is equal, if it is no, then as far as HR demand forecasts comes as surplus, low, layoff and reduced hours will be the outcome. Which means people will ask to go. Okay? There, what does it say? There will be shortage, recruitment and selection process will have to be initiated. So it simply means that the further processes of the organization manpower planning will be largely dictated by the demand supply of manpower from the labor market. That's what this is depicting. And since they are not equal, if they are equal, ideal condition, it never happens. We are dealing with human beings, not with inanimate objects. And hence, this scenario is bound to happen. Either it is this or that or both. Both the scenarios can take place at the same time. And this keeps fluctuating from time to time. Remember that. Okay? Now we come to process of manpower planning, organizational objectives. Same thing, we are showing it here. Derived from the business objectives which have been defined by the top management. Business objectives means we want to do this business. This is going to be our Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4 growth, etc., etc. From there, we derive the objectives, derived from the business objectives which have been defined by the top management. Number two, from organization objectives, the HR department determines the number and the characteristics of the employees. So once I know the organization objective, I split it up into parts, who is required where, at what point of time, in what numbers, at what position, at what compensation. For this purpose, an organization chart is drawn and referred to. So they need an organization chart which is depicting top management, middle management, low operation management, all different positions, so that becomes a ready reckoner, right? Now, The HR department also needs to determine whether vacancies are filled, union constraints, automation, etc. So they have to take a number of parameters into account to ensure that the manpower planning is properly initiated. HR demand forecast. It is a process of estimating the number of and quality of people for future needs of the organization. Demand forecast considers external as well as internal factors, like I told you earlier in the chapter 1. External factors include competition, economic climate, technological changes, laws and regulations, etc. Okay, so whatever is happening in the outside world, it is going to impact my manpower planning here. I may anticipate that in the month of October, I will be able to recruit, say, 1,000 people. But October, some changes may take place. It's the month of December. So 11 months from now, 10 months from now, things may be totally different. So I may go haywire at that point of time. So this is an important external factor I need to take into account. We use a word called guesstimate, G, guesstimate, as against estimate. In a guesstimate, there's a certain amount of what we call as a ballpark figure, which means I factor the unknowns well in advance and I say that I may be needing 1,000 people plus or minus 100, 200, so that I'm prepared for both the eventualities. So guesstimates, I would say, are to be followed, and with that you must closely follow the movement of the time from now till the time when you want the people. It's very important. You have to keep the ear to the ground, ear to the market, ear to the external factors. Now we come to internal factors. This is within you. Budget constraints. Are we having budget constraints? Do we have a proper budget for recruiting and selecting people? Companies, sometimes there's a cost of recruiting, there's a cost of selection, there's a cost of induction and orientation, there's a cost of an employee when he joins before he becomes operational. So whether we have a proper budget there, are there new products we're introducing, new services? Organization structure, how is it? Is it tall structure? Is it flat structure? Employee separation, are we having a proper separation process, which is all about retirement or resigning? So all these things have to be factored when you prepare this. It's a part of the demand forecast. Normally, demand forecasting is done on the basis of annual budget and long-term corporate plans. One single time it is done, that's what is normally done. But it needs to be reviewed every month according to me if the number of employees are huge. Like in a large IT company like a TCS or an Infosys or a Wipro, you may have to review it practically every, I would say, real-time basis almost. Because it keeps changing, a lot of volatility takes place, right? HR forecast, take it further. Supply forecasting is a process by which the management determines whether it would be able to procure the required number of employees and the various sources. It measures the number of people available to the organization, internal as well as external. We all know that there are internal recruits as well as external recruits. When a certain job vacancy, we might resort to going for internal recruitment. I'll talk about it when we come to that chapter, right? Or we may go for external people to join in. Supply analysis is beneficial in quantifying the number of people and positions expected to arise in the future. Supply analysis covers present employees, internal sources of supply, and external sources of supply. At the end of this PPT, in the slides, I'll show a depiction which will explain this to you. Gap analysis, is demand equal to supply? If the demand is more than supply, there is a shortage of manpower and the necessary steps are taken to recruit, select, train and develop. That's what is given here. If you see this in the block diagram. If the supply is more than the demand, there is a surplus of manpower and necessary steps like layoffs. I have to lay them off. That is the first one. Reduced working hours, VRS, pay cuts, etc. might be resorted to. That is this one. And the earlier one is the one which we spoke about out there. Okay. So it's very simple, common sense, demand supply, we don't understand. And then based on the demand of the supply, accordingly, you have to do your manpower planning in that fashion. Very simple. What is the importance of manpower planning? Future manpower needs are properly taken into account. If I do not have a manpower planning, I may not know what are my future manpower needs. So to understand the future manpower needs, I must know the strategies, I must know what's going on outside, what's going on inside, what are the changes we are going through. In simple terms, this is what we need to know. And this is an art. You'll collect a lot of information, but you must know how to use the information properly. And that's an art. Because here, at the end of the day, you're using the information to predict, to forecast how many people I need. And so the future manpower needs is a very important part of manpower planning. If this was not there, we would have an issue. Creating highly talented manpower. Because we are doing a manpower planning, we are able to define by going through the job specifications and also understanding the requirements of various end user departments, what sort of people we need. So we are able to have talented people. Not only that, when we take people inside, we know if you have taken very skilled people, we know how to raise their talent by putting them to a talent management program. Third is the foundations of HR functions like recruitment, selection, training, development, job analysis. All this is all controlled by manpower planning. If the manpower planning is not proper, if they haven't taken the right people at the right time in the right proportion, all these things will tumble down. Okay? Now, what are the barriers to manpower planning? There are certain barriers. There are some roadblocks. Inaccuracy in preparing long-range forecasts due to changes in economic conditions. The country is going through an election and you're planning for some. Let's say the election is the month of April and you're planning for something for the month of June, July. And you're not factoring a likelihood of a change of a political party. Or maybe there's a RBI policy that's coming up somewhere in the month of March, April. And you're planning something wherein you're not factoring that particular thing coming into picture. Sometimes the information of the future is not available because they have not released it in the news. Sometimes it is available and you're not putting it into action. So the inaccuracy can come even with the best of preparation, in short. Point number two is operating managers and non-HR managers are not being involved in the manpower planning. This is a very, very critical thing. In many companies, this happens. The HR people are the only ones who are talking about the manpower planning, the user departments, and all the stakeholders who are involved with the concerned manpower that is being recruited and selected for the company, inducted. Everybody should be involved. If I am the production manager and I need production engineers working with me in my department, I need to be a part of the manpower planning to tell them well in advance that, look, this is the type of people I'll be needing in the month of August, in the month of September, in the month of December. Because I know what sort of requirements are there on my shop floor where I'm working. So that's a non-HR manager who's supposed to be involved. Operating managers means the ones who are actually working on a daily basis. They know the reality. They are with the ground reality. And they can actually give you a much more accurate figure. In my experience, I've seen this. Okay? So people who are in the dynamic stage are the operating managers. And these people have also to be involved in the manpower planning. When they're not involved, it becomes a theoretical exercise which is out of touch with reality, ground reality. The third is, again, a very critical thing, imbalance between short-term and long-term HR needs. This is where the knee-jerk reaction comes. Suddenly, there's a project coming up in an IT company and the project requires, let's say, a manpower of 500 people, software engineers and all included. And they'll quickly rush and get those 500 people from anywhere. This might happen. Now, that 500 I'm taken, but in the long run, I don't need the 500. So after the project is over, when we cross the short-term needs and we have fulfilled it, we find that these 500 are redundant. I may need about 100 or 200 with me. Now, this imbalance can bring about. And those extra, you know, we call them, we make them sit on a, they are benched, as we call it in IT industry. So this push-pull because of bad foresight can happen this way. I have only one thing to say about manpower planning. Always do it very carefully. Just because there is somebody comes and puts a surge on you. I want people right now. I want it next day. I want it next month. Don't jump into it. I would rather say pause. Because many organizations I've seen, you know, they take people in numbers suddenly because there's a project. They're looking at the top line, bottom line, they're looking at business. And after some time, this becomes a liability. The business is also coming, and the business, we are losing our brand and we are losing our reputation with the business because the manpower is not good enough. If I want to take quality manpower, I need time. If I want to take the proper manpower, I need time. So there has to be a time involved in doing a manpower planning. It can't be done quickly just because somebody from the top management is forcing you to do that. And last point I've written there, manpower planning is like a moving target. It's like a moving target. And it's not simply a number crunching process. It's moving, and we have to be very careful. See my hand, how it's going. So it moves here, I have to move myself here. I have to be very much aligned to the manpower planning, moving target process, right? And here I'm showing you something which is depicting, there's a month A, there's a month one, and there's a month two. Typically, when it comes to number crunching, in the month one, let's say that 250 employees are working in the company. In the box, you can find 250 number. 250 employees are working in the company. In this month, between the first of the month and the end of the month, I'm taking in 30 people. 30 people are supposed to be taken in. And between the first of the month and the end of the month, 40 people are going to be leaving the company, separation. So what will be the net figure for month two? 250 plus 30 minus 40, which is 240 given in month two box. This is ballpark figure I've written down here, which means this is a figure which I have to jot down as an indicator. What do I mean by this? This figure may or may not be achieved. But this is not it. There's much more to it. There are complexities in the same thing. How am I sure that 30 people will be pakka joining? There is something like no show. Recruiting, selecting, giving appointment letters to people, they don't join. So for this, although this is 30, I have to work out in such a way that plus minus some factor I have to put. Assuming that some people will join, some people will not join. Assuming that some people may be excess also. Now that's where the budgetary implication impacts this. Regarding 250 in the company, no issues. But the 40 leaving, some of them may retract their resignation. They may be joining back perhaps. Some of them are, they may not leave. Some of what I'm expecting, 40, maybe more than 40. It can be 50, even 60. Some people suddenly resign without even telling. The operations staff doesn't have, they can be relieved in no time. This can happen. So these complexities have to be overwritten on this. Only then manpower planning becomes practicable. That's why I showed you this figure. In the book, I have included this just to drive home a fact that it's not mere number crunching. Through this number crunching, you come to know the other complexities which are qualitative in nature. Okay? And then we are now coming down to the end of the chapter, which is a summary. I'm reading it out. Human resources management is a process where people and organizations are brought together so that the goals of each are met. Manpower planning or human resources planning is a process of forecasting an organization's future demands for and supply of the right type of people in the right number. Manpower planning is influenced by factors such as type and strategy of organization, growth cycles of the organization, environmental uncertainties, and labor market. It involves the following steps: organization objectives, demand forecast, supply forecast, surplus or shortage of manpower. It is important as it determines future manpower needs, is a foundation for other HR functions, and is useful in creating highly talented manpower. With this, my dear friends, I conclude this small module on manpower planning. I'm sure this is a value addition to you. Thank you very much.